Hi and welcome to the CDC Insight podcast. CDC is the UK's development finance institution and impact investor. And in this podcast, we share some of the highlights from our recent Insight events. The Insight series aims to share practical lessons on private sector investment and development based on our experiences, knowledge and research. And while we're on a bit of a summer break from hosting our regular events, we thought we'd share some of the best bits from the last year or so. So in this episode, we're focusing on the issue of climate change, and in particular, what our guests are thinking in the run-up to COP26, which is taking place in November this year. And for those of you that don't know, I'll start with a bit of background. COP, which stands for Conference of the Parties, is a UN-led global climate summit, and this year's meeting will be held in Glasgow, with the UK taking the presidency. So we'll begin this episode with renowned environmental scientist Dr. Tara Shine, who told us what her ideal headlines would be following COP. And this clip was taken from an event we held with Dr. Shine in December of last year.
What might be the headline or the paradigm shift that might come out of COP26?
So my dream headline would be that countries of the world come to the table with commitments that will keep us safe and will keep warming to 1.5. That would be my dream headline. In terms of things that I'd like to see emerge from the COP, I think I would really like this COP to, as I spoke about, give leadership. So I would like it to have this bigger picture around how the countries are going to collaborate to solve these problems. I would like the decisions that are taken to be very much informed by science. So the role I'm playing at the moment with the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is around a science policy dialogue and making sure that policymakers have time to stop and pause while not negotiating, to be informed by and learn about the latest science and how that science has filled gaps in knowledge that we had in 2015. So for example, in 2015, we understood very little about the difference between 1.5 and 2 degrees. We understand so much more about that now. So that has to inform the decisions that policymakers take. So I hope that the science informs the decision-making and that we have space for that. And then I hope that this COP can be really, truly inclusive. And I mean that the voices of the most vulnerable countries are heard at the negotiating table, but also that the COP reaches a wider community, that it reaches the communities around it in Glasgow, and that they feel part of it, that they know what it is and know why it's important that their city is hosting it. But likewise, that spreads across the rest of the UK, and that we can use these new ways of interacting and communicating online to ensure that what a COP is more widely understood and more widely accessible to more people. That forces us to be more transparent and more accountable in how the negotiations are run. It forces us to stop speaking in mumbo jumbo jargon that nobody else can understand. It forces us to be clear in why decisions are being taken and how. So improving the participation in the COP, helping it to land down from that kind of being a spaceship floating above the earth, as it sometimes is, into something that is embedded in the reality of everyday lives, so that people understand its role and why it's important to them. That would be another thing I would really like to come from COP26.
And recently we had the pleasure of welcoming Hans-Peter Lankes to an Insight event. Hans-Peter is a visiting professor in practice at the Grantham Institute, which is part of the London School of Economics. And Hans-Peter was joined at that event by Dr. Amal Lee Amin, Director of Climate Change Strategy here at CDC. And Amal Lee is also a senior advisor to the UK government's COP26 unit. At the event, they both discussed what's on their COP26 wish list, particularly as it relates to climate finance.
COP26, as we know, I mean, climate finance is always one of the most important issues for the COP. I think it will be increasingly, or has become increasingly important. As many may be aware, the commitment to mobilise 100 billion by 2020 probably will have not been met last year because of the situation with COVID. And so it's going to be really important to rebuild momentum around that 100 billion and ensure that that comes forward and trust is maintained around that. But I think increasingly we need to not focus only on the quantity of climate finance, but also importantly, the quality and the inclusivity of climate finance. And I think very much as Hans-Peter said, I think when we think about, you know, quality, what are we doing with the climate finance? You know, how are we using it to really innovate, to really bring forward the new technologies to our markets? And to do that in a way that will ensure that it's delivering really inclusive benefits. So whether that's gender finance, whether that's reaching, you know, the poorest countries, getting to communities, particularly when we think about the need for adaptation and resilience. So I very much hope that in the build up to COP and at COP itself, there'll be a renewed emphasis, renewed focus on how to really deliver on adaptation, adaptation finance. And that's really one of the priorities that we've set through our climate strategy at CDC.
Thanks, Emily. Hans-Peter, same question to you. What's on your wish list for COP26?
So it was good to hear Amali on this and the importance of adaptation. And that's very much what you would get when you talk to the countries that we, that CDC, that the Development Finance Institution is engaged in. And it's often underestimated. In the talks, it's underestimated. In the North, where we focus on mitigation, the picture looks different when you are in the developing country. So that's a very important point. Of course, for the COP, you know, I would want to see what you know, the presidency wants to see is net zero emissions targets covering, you know, the whole world. We have about 2/3 of global emissions covered by that today. There have to be targets for emissions cuts by 2030 and a pathway, and that's very important. But also that we hear about the how. And when you look at some of the analyses that are coming out now from, you know, analyses of the commitments that are being made in large international fora, and then they compare that against what's happening on the ground, there's a huge gap. So to move from target, I just saw, I don't know if you saw this, the IEA just came out with their 1.5 centigrade path, and it's pretty brutal and stark for the fossil industry. I don't know whether that's so clear to everyone, and it just means that today we have to stop exploring. We have to have a much faster path towards closing coal. We had in Germany, for instance, there was a path towards closing coal by 2038, and now we get, it's clear that that's not compatible with a path to net zero by 2050. And the Constitutional Court actually picked that up, which is first time I see sort of climate justice really being translated into the justice system, generational justice. So that will have to be put forward. All of these are issues around the how. And that for me is crucial for COP26. Then of course we have the financial sector, the COP26 private finance strategy, which puts the focus on the three R's, on reporting, risk management, and returns. And I've mentioned this before, I would like to see all of this becoming mandatory and that there's agreement on doing that.
The issue of COP26 was also discussed by the author and entrepreneur John Elkington. John has written and co-authored numerous well-regarded books on the issue of corporate social and environmental responsibility.
The youth element of the equation is absolutely fundamentally important. I've been out on some of the school climate change marches, and I've talked to some of the young people who've been involved in that. And I think we are at a very interesting phase in all this, where we can either lose or we can gain younger people. I think they are increasingly anxious, and the danger is that it'll flash over into anger about climate. And now you've got all the other things that are being dumped in their collective lap.
And to end this episode on a practical note, we'll go back to Dr. Tara Shine, who had this message for investors on the action they can take in addressing climate change.
Even with investors that are very well briefed on ESG, I still think we're separating environment and social far too much. I still don't think we actually understand how the two things are linked. and how they go hand in hand. And we need to break them out of their silos and show that they're one in the same thing, when really what we're striving to do is to make a better society with good returns, obviously, on investments and improve people's lives. So there's still not enough finance and investment getting to the local level in the developing economies that you're, for example, in CDC investing in. It's not getting down to the bottom. How are you measuring that? Where does the flow of your investment end? Is it just benefiting sort of at the level of the capital city? Is it actually getting out into the regions? Is it really getting down and changing people's lives? How much of that is actually ending up benefiting women? Do you know? If you don't know, can you find out? Because I think this is the key thing. You know, money gets to a certain point and then it gets stuck. How much of it is actually getting out through either decentralized systems or effective healthcare systems, education systems, out to where really it's needed?
So that's about it for this episode. As I mentioned at the start, we're taking a bit of a summer break from our regular Insight events at the moment, but we'll be back with more in the autumn. We'll also be producing lots more content in the run-up to COP26. So if you want to hear more about all of that, then do click the link to subscribe to our newsletter in the episode notes. Thanks very much for listening to this CDC Insight podcast. We'll be back with a new one very soon.